Recording. Melach HaShochet. So the gather of the Melach HaShochet is presumably Netilas Neshama. The Gemara Kuf Zayin Amud Beis has a dispute as to whether or not you're chayev for Netilas Neshama for Shochet if you kill a louse. According to Rabbi Lazar, Hahore Kina B'Shabbos is chayev. Why? Kahore Gamal B'Shabbos. Why should there be any difference between killing a lice and killing a camel? Mark explains that since the gather of the Melacha is Netilas Neshama, so anything that's alive has a Neshama, and therefore you're chayev if you kill anything that's alive. And the Gemara explains that we learn it from the Mishkan, Yalfinan, Me'elim, Adamim, that were killed when they built the Mishkan. They needed the Oros of these Elim. And from there we learn Melachas Shochet. So Rabbi Lazar says, Ke'elim, Ma'elim, Sheshba Netilas Neshama, of Kol Sheshba Netilas Neshama, Chayv Alav B'Shabbes, and therefore even Kinim. However, the Chachamim Pater killing Kinim. Why? Because Einam Parim V'Rabim. Ma'elim are Parim V'Rabim, Af Kol De Par V'Rabba, Lafuke Kinim De'ein Parim V'Rabim. Now, it's an interesting Shaila. Why do we care about Pru Revu? Why should it be Talui in Pru Revu? Mechatesi. In other words, the position of Rabbi Lazar makes a lot of sense. Just like Elim, you killed a living being. So too, if lice are living beings, you should be chayev. Why would you say that dafkud has to be similar to elim that are parin v'rabin? We don't say dafkud dumya de elim that are behemos, or dafkud dumya de elim that are creatures with hair. Why parin v'rabin? Mechatesi, it should be totally in that. So l'chora the pshat is that you see from here that the ikar chiyus is the possibility to be molid, to be mamshech. And if you have an animal that can't be molid, that can't be mamshech, that's not alive. And the truth is, you see this actually from the Psukim in Bereishis in an interesting way. If you look at the end of Parshas Bereishis in Perek Hay, when the Torah tells us about the genealogy of Adam and Chava, so the Pasuk describes their lifespan in a very interesting way. Vayichi Adam Shloshim U'Me'ashana Vayolid Bidmuso Kitzamo Vayikrash Moshes Vayu Yimei Adam Acharei Holido Ashes Shmona Me'oshana Vayolid Banim Uvanos Vayikoli Adam Fine Vayichi Shes Chamesh Shanim U'Me'ashana Vayolid Es Enosh Vayichi Shes Acharei Holido Es Enosh Shava Shanim Shmona Me'oshana Vayolid Banim Uvanos, etc., etc. In other words, when telling us the lifespan of people, it tells them basically how old they were when they gave birth. Adam gave birth to his hemsheikh at 130 when he gave birth to Shais, and it tells us how long he lived until he birthed Shais, and then how long he lived afterwards. Shais, you know, he lived Chamesh Shanim U'Me'ashana Vayoledes Enosh, and then we have his lifespan Acharei Sheholedes Enosh Sheva Shanim U'Shmonim U'Me'as Shana U'Shmonam Yoshana. So it sounds like you're not really chai until you're molid, and that's why we count their lifespan from when they were molid. So what does that mean? Obviously a person is shayach to have peros, even though they're not molid. The pasuk in Yeshayahu says, "Le'elu sheshomer mesabris." So Hashem is no saying lehem yad v'shem tov mi banim umi banos shem olam etein lo asher lo yikareis. In other words, it's shayach to have a hemsheikh that's not just a biological hemsheikh, not just a evolutionary hemsheikh, but what the Gemara is telling us is that shayach for a person. A person is shayach to have a hemsheikh that isn't biological, but by a baal chai, they're not really alive if they can't be molded. That's when they become alive. And memela, there's no hariga for a living creature if there's no hemsheikh in the sense that they can't be molded. That's what Hashem says to Cain after he killed. He says, "Kol demei achicha tzoakim elai," that you haven't just killed Hevel, but you killed all his hemsheikh. Likewise, if you're a Machiah person, you're Machiah not just him, but Zaro. But what we see from these psukim, interestingly enough, is that at this point, in Sefer Bereishis, humanity was viewed primarily as a means of, again, this biological continuity. And hence, a person really lives when they're molded. So when did it stop? When did the Torah stop counting people in this biological evolutionary perspective where you're alive when you're molded? So if we look in Parshas Noach, Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis, we see the same thing. When it discusses the descendants of Noach, it also counts them as living almost once they give birth. Ela toldo shem, shem be'mea shana v'yolad es arpachshad, sh'nasayim achar mabur, v'yichi shem, achare holido es arpachshad, chamesh me'o shana v'yolad banim uvanos. And the same thing, arpachshad chai chamesh l'shoshim shana v'yolad es shalach, v'yichi arpachshad achare holido es shalach, shalosh shanim v'arba me'o shana v'yolad banim uvanos. So when did this stop? This wasn't until Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu and onwards, we never count people's lives this way any longer. From latest Avram and on, we're mona not from a person's lifespan, not from when they're molded, but from when they're born. Why? Because that is the yesod of Avram. Avram understood that the peros of a person and his nitzchios is not just his biological continuity. Vaikach Avram, Esara Ishto, Veslo Ben Achiv, Veskol Rechusham Asher Achashu, Ves HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charan. In other words, he created nefashos not by biologically creating a child, but Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charan. He wasn't holed nefashos b'charan, but nefesh Asher Asu b'charan. He was makir that it's shayach nitzchios that isn't biological. And that's the nachla of Avram Avinu, that from then onwards, whenever the Torah is mona zera Avram, it's mona them from when they were born. So a person is different than an animal. By a behema, it's only chai, we paskin like the chachamim, it's only chai if it's par virava, if it's a bar puria virivia. And therefore, if you're Horeg Kina B'Shabbos, you're Pater. Because it's not living. Because all there is to life is that continuity. Mashen Ken, when it's by an Adam, it's Shayach, Nitzchios, and Perot that are told me by Nimububanos. There's Nitzchios that isn't through the biological. Shem Olam Asher Yikares. And this explains many mitzvahs. For example, why it is dafka that by kibud av ha'em and shiluach ha'kein, the Torah promises arichos yamim. Those are mitzvahs that relate to the continuity. The Ramban explains shiluach ha'kein is about the continuity of this species. It's about sustainable consumption, kibud av ha'em, having children. And the Gemara explains that don't think that it's talking about eternity in this world, the Gemara at the end of Chulin, it's talking about nitzchios of the neshama, yom shekulo tov, yom shekulo arach. So that's the yesod of the Chachamim. The yesod of the Chachamim is that since the ikar chios of a animal is purely biological, the ability to reproduce. So Mimela, we say that there is no Isser of Netilas Neshama when you kill a Kina. Now we paskin like the Chachamim, against Rebbe Lazar, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says you are allowed to kill a Kina on Shabbos under certain circumstances. And the question that the Poskim address in the modern context is that, of course, nowadays we can observe that lice do procreate. They are parin verabin. Their eggs might be small, but they are. And therefore, is it mutter nowadays to kill a louse on Shabbos?
Rebbe?
Do we say that it's usher because we see that lice are parin verabin? Or do we say that it's mutter because the Gemara says, the Mishnah says it's mutter under the circumstances described in the Shulchan Aruch? Yes, Yoni.
Meaning in Ochinami, we can see that Puravu creates a hemshech, but like, isn't that like, I guess to say it bluntly, not that, isn't that like, quote unquote, a nice drush, but like, you know, in terms of Chavala, like you're not removing the nitzchias of the bug when you take blood away.
The nitzchias of an animal is entirely dependent upon its ability to reproduce. That's even why, you know, you see this in the Ramban points out that it's mutter to kill animals for your consumption, but it's aser to wipe out a species. In other words, you have to preserve the biological nitzchias of the creature. So that's what the Chachamim say. In other words, that's the Dumya de Arzelim. It is a shtickled rashi, I hear, but I think that perhaps, on the aside, that might be the lesson that the Chachamim...
I mean, it would be, right, and you have to say that the only reason that it's also to kill, like, an islandess is because she has nitzchias outside of physical, yeah, biological...
Person, correct. I mean... I don't know if you have to say that's the only reason, but what you see from these halachos is this point, that when it comes to an animal, the iser of netil seshnama is only relevant when it comes to a creature that has this biological continuity that's dependent on perivirivia. So... Yoni claims that the first part of the shir so far has been a little drushy. So the second part of the shir is also maybe a little bit drushy. We'll get into the more rigorous details a little bit later. But as I said, an interesting question that comes up is whether this din applies anymore. I remember this, you should all be spared from such things, but I remember that my kids once basically all had lice. I think we discovered it on Shabbos, and the question came up, could you kill those lice on Shabbos? There's Borer Shilas, as we discussed earlier as well. But literally, you know, you could see some of the time the lice in their hair. You're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. So again, if you looked at the Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. But we know that scientifically speaking, it is no longer the case that life spontaneously generates. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara certainly assumed that life spontaneously generate. There's a Meshech Chacham about this. I think that Rabbi Meiselman, in his book on science, tries to claim that Chazal didn't think they spontaneously generate Ayin Sham, but the Pashup Pshat is that Chazal did think that they spontaneously generate.
And then what's Pshat in the Gemara, Pru or Vu?
Ayin Sham, he has a Pshat. I don't remember what it is, to be honest. So you could take a look, but it's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus is that it means that they spontaneously generated, as was the thinking of most people until modern times, until quite recently. So how does that translate halacha l'maaseh nowadays? So this is obviously a broader question of how we relate to scientific discoveries when they seem to contradict Chazal. So we'll consider five approaches to this question, very briefly. There are some Rishonim who seem to say, at least in other contexts, that we reject the validity of the scientific conclusions and we follow what Chazal say, despite there being evidence to the contrary. So there's a very famous Tshuva Sarashpa in Chelak Aleph, Simin Tzadi Ches. It's quoted by the Raman Yoredeya Nun Zayin Sif Yod Ches, and the Shach over there, Sif Katan Mem Ches. And he writes that despite there being evidence, medical evidence, scientific evidence to the contrary, it is inconceivable that trefos enumerated by Chazal could live longer than 1 year. Now the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says no, that even though the trefos enumerated by Chazal may live longer than a year, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis, that the list of Chazal is the list we follow in Hilchos Shechita in terms of what's considered a treif or not. We'll talk about why that is in a moment. But Lemaisa, that's what the halacha was, and that's what the halacha is. But the Rambam thinks that it's no problem if a doctor, if a scientist comes and shows that you could have an animal with a hole in the lung that lives 14 months, that the Rambam has no issue with that. But the Rashba says, no, if they come and they tell you that, they're lying. Now, the Rashba's ruling does not definitively imply that we always disregard science when it comes to the science that's in, well, we'll start 1 second before we get there. So it would seem that if you took this approach to lice, you would say that it's mutter to kill lice on Shabbos. The question is, would you still say that when there is incontrovertible proof? In other words, we could go ahead and like look and see a louse lay an egg and observe that egg and see the egg hatch. We see it with our eyes. What would the Rashba say about that? So the Rashba does not definitively imply that we always disregard science. And in fact, that could be on two levels. Number one is it could be that the Rashba only said this by trefos because they were halach lemosh misina. This is the lashon of the Rashba. The im yischazek b'ta'uso v'yomar lo ki ahavti dvarim zarim v'hem asher ro einem v'acharem eilech namar elav lahotzi laz al divrei chachanim yafshar v'yivatel hameyed v'elav ki yotze bo ואלטיבטל נקודה אחס ממה שהסכימו בהוכח מישראל הקדושים, נביאים ובני נביאים, ודברים שנאמרו למשה מסיני. So perhaps the Rashba was only objecting to the scientific claim with respect to trefos because this is Allah Moshe Mesinai, and perhaps the case of the kinim isn't halach l'moshe misinai. After all, the Rambam writes when there's a machlokas, it means there's no halach l'moshe misinai. So conceivably, the Rashba could agree that in the case of kinim, maybe we would say that Chazal were mistaken, but we can't say it with respect to halach l'moshe misinai. That's one reason why you could possibly argue the Rashba is irrelevant here. Another reason, maybe more fundamentally, is what Rav Moshe writes. This is Tshuva Sigros Moshe, Choshen Mishpat Chelak Beisim and Ayin Gimel. Rav Moshe writes that the Rashba would agree that today, certainly, certain trefos do live more than a year. He writes, Leka b'zeh shum kfira b'divrei ha-mishnah v'agemara de'adarabah miskaimin b'zeh divrei ha-mishnah v'agemara shalo yiksha alayu me'amitziyas shebedoros achronim sh'af ha-rashba im hayachai v'chein ata shehu ba'olam ha-emes v'gan Eden. The Rashba would agree, says Rav Moshe, nowadays. What does he mean? Either Rav Moshe means that the Rashba would concede that Chazal made a mistake, or I think this is more likely, and this is the approach that my brother-in-law, Rabbi Yitzchak Grossman, argues, that Rav Moshe was saying that there must have been, the Rashba, when demonstrated with clear-cut evidence that trefos live, right? You know, it's not just scientific claims, but it's something that can be verified and re-verified. So the Rashba would have to come up with some other solution. Maybe the Rambam solution. In other words, there would be another solution besides the scientist's contention is wrong. So it doesn't have to be that the Rashba would agree. Rosh isn't saying that the Rashba would agree that Chazal got it wrong. It could be that the Rashba would be forced to conclude something else. Again, on the one hand, we just saw that Lashon the Rashba, his stridency implies that he would reject such a solution. But anyway, that's school of thought number one. So school of thought number one is that Chazal are right, science are wrong. Chazal, Rashba says that view by trefos, and if we were to apply that by eggs, that would mean that you could kill eggs, lice, you could kill lice on Shabbos. That's possibility one. It's not the only possibility, possibility number one. Another possibility is to say no, that Chazal were right. Chazal were absolutely right. The lice in Chazal spontaneously generated, but our lice that clearly don't spontaneously generate are different than the lice that the Gemara is talking about. Who says that what we call kinim are what they call kinim? So it is true that the Gemara's statement contradicts what we see. No, it's not true at all, because the Gemara is talking about one thing and we're talking about another thing. And therefore, if you take that second approach, we'll say, again, the first approach says Chazal weren't mistaken, and scientists are wrong. The second approach says Chazal weren't mistaken, scientists are right. It's a different lice. And Mimela, if you took the second approach, it would be usher to kill lice nowadays. Now, this second view is formulated in a number of different ways in the Rishonim and the Achronim. We could say it one way, that the lice of the Gemara were a different species. Maybe that species is extinct and this is a different species. That's the approach that Rav Moshe Krasner takes in a work called Sod Lireyav. Another variation of that theme would be, no, Nishtanu Atvayim, it's different lice. It's not different lice, it's a change in lice. I don't know, lice evolved from spontaneous generation to sexual reproduction. And that's the idea that Tosfos says in a number of places, like Moed Katan Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, of Nishtanu Atvayim, where Tosfos uses that idea to reconcile cases where Chazal's statements seem to contradict observable facts. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, again, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Bey, Simen Ayin Gimel, Os Dalad. Another possibility, which will, again, you know what, let's get back to that other possibility. So again, option two is Chazal were right, scientists are right, something changed, Nishtanu HaTvayim, and therefore it is mutter to kill, it's usher to kill lice nowadays. Option three is to say Chazal were right, science was right, nothing changed, but we have to understand what Chazal were really saying. Chazal were saying that what matters in halacha is what the naked eye could see. And what the naked eye can't see is not relevant to halacha. So whether Chazal thought that they spontaneously generate or not is irrelevant. What's relevant is the halacha. The halacha that they said, you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos, is because there's no apparent period of erythia. We don't see lice reproduce. The Gemara talks about Beit Zekinim, but fundamentally, leaving that issue aside, it's too small and doesn't look like it. It looks like, to the appearance of the naked eye, this looks like spontaneous generation.
But so you can see lice.
does that mean?
Well, as I said, the Gemara does talk about lice eggs. But the basic idea is that the halacha recognizes only that which is visible to the naked eye. Now, this, by the way, is relevant in many areas in halacha, not just this question. It's relevant in Hilchos Tolaim. You don't have to worry about eating bugs that are not visible to the naked eye. Rav Moshe writes it's relevant to understanding what's considered ribua for tefillin, that if it looks like a square, that's good enough. And in terms of this question of killing lice on Shabbos, this is the approach that Rav Dessler suggests. It's in Michtav Meliyahu in volume 4, page 355. And he says that what Chazal were basically saying is that we care about what's visible to the naked eye. So what comes out halach l'maisa from this is then it would still be mutter to kill lice nowadays, even though you know that they do sexually reproduce. Yes, Yosef.
No, I just want to know how far we extended that to other halacha.
So again, a lot of the answers that I'm giving, you know, some we could accept all of them in different contexts. They're not all mutually exclusive. We might say nishtanu atvaim to answer certain questions. We might say the halacha recognizes only that which is visible to the naked eye for other questions. It's not like each of these answers are mutually exclusive. They might be mutually exclusive with respect to the question of addressing lice and killing lice on Shabbos nowadays, but the general principles might, you know, you might use each of these answers, all of these answers, to answer different types of questions. Okay, so that's answer number three. Answer number four is an idea that the halacha became fixed at the times of the Gemara and applies whether or not the basis of the ruling is true anymore, in which case it would be permissible to kill lice on Shabbos. This idea comes up in a number of places. Rav Moshe, in one place actually, says this idea. As I said, that's the tshuva of Choshen Mishpat Chelek Beisim and Ein Gimel Os Dalet. And one place that this idea is perhaps alluded to is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Zayin on the base. The Gemara says, Tanud Be'eliyahu, Sheishas Alafim Shana Have Alma, Shnei Alafim Tohu, Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Yimos Mashiach. Uvavonosenu Shirabu Yatsu Mehem Mashiyatsu. So the first 2,000 years of Torah, of the world, 6,000 years are Tohu. That was before Torah came into the world, before Avram Avinu. Then there were 2,000 years of Torah, which included Matan Torah and took us more or less almost through the to the writing of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And then 2,000 years where Mashiach could come. Obviously, as the Gemara says, that Avonoseinu, Shirabu Yatsu Mehem Mashiyatsu, many of those 2,000 years have already been depleted. Now, what that means in terms of whether Mashiach has to come by the year 6,000 is another question, not for now. Even if we're doing drush today, you know, we have some limits. Sorry, Yoni. But the point that the Chazon Ish considers is that when it comes to establishing certain types of halachos, like trefos, now again, he doesn't necessarily say this with respect to all matters, but he says it with respect to trefos, then that is what was nikba during those 2,000 years of Torah. What was nikba by Chazal remains the halacha, even if the basis for that is no longer the case. This is the way the Chazon Ish puts it in Yoredei Simen Hei. V'nimsar l'chachomim l'chvawa ha-trefos al-pi ruach ha-kodesh she'ofia aleihem. V'hinei ha-yatzarech l'hikava b'beis ha-alafim Torah. So this kvios, which Chazal made, al-pi ruach ha-kodesh, took place in the beis ha-alafim of Torah. V'yukovim ha-trefos k'fi hashkachaso, Yisborach bizman ahu. Again, this might be what the Rambam meant as well. The Afshar, de Hanesuchim Shebizmanenu, Layumol and Biyamim Arishonim. So maybe even if what we have nowadays would have been Mol, that's a somewhat of a concession possibility. But the basic idea that he says is that the halacha was nikba during the period of Torah. Rav Kook has a similar idea regarding the halachos of Kilayim. The most sort of extreme formulation of this idea is in Moshe Shmuel Glasner's Hakdama Tehulin called the Dor Revi'i. He sort of takes this very far. But that is the fourth approach. The fourth approach, again, is that Torah, it's very hard to understand this exactly, but Torah is nikba. Now, if you were to say that Torah is nikba at Sinai, that's one thing. But this idea that Torah is nikba during the 2,000 years, you know, Yoni accused us of trying to use drush to explain dinim. So one might raise a similar objection over here. But anyhow, that is approach number four. And approach, and again, according to that approach number four, presumably it would be mutter to kill the lice on Shabbos nowadays. Again, if you applied approach number four to this question. And finally, approach number five is to say, look, we should acknowledge that the Chachamim and the Gemara were mistaken in their ruling. They ruled that you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos based off of their scientific error, which we now know to be false. It's understandable that they made that mistake because they were dealing with the best science that was available at the time. But nowadays that we know the truth that lice do reproduce, so then it would be usser to kill lice on Shabbos.
Did you end up killing lice?
One second. One thinker that argued for this is Rav Yitzchak Lampranti in his Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Huttner's Pachad Yitzchak, the one that's like an encyclopedia. And he writes that since this might be the case, he doesn't definitively say it, but he says, since this might be the case, so lemaise you should be machmir not to kill lice on Shabbos. So if we were to chazer, again, we had five approaches. Approach number one is the scientists are wrong, therefore it's mutter to kill lice on Shabbos. What the Rashba says about trefos. Possibility number two is nishtanu hatvayim of some sort. Our lice are different, or lice changed, or the like, in which case it's aser to kill lice on Shabbos. Possibility number three is that the halacha and the Gemara was nikah based off of what's visible to the naked eye, and therefore nowadays it would be mutter to kill lice on Shabbos. Possibility number four is the halacha was nikba during the shtayim alafim of Torah, and therefore would be mutter to kill lice on Shabbos. Possibility number five is that Chazal made a scientific error that was consistent with the science of their time, and therefore nowadays it would be usher to kill lice on Shabbos. And halach lemais, I think, put it this way, midei sveka lo nafka, so lemais, I think, should not kill lice on Shabbos. Okay, there were some questions before we start the real.
I was just going to ask what the Wieder Blanks ended up doing, but
we did not kill the lice on Shabbos.
Yeah, I was wondering, of course, what the kids did.
I think that they didn't even kill lice during the week. There are some interesting questions of what about putting the, you know, so I'll tell you, this leads us. It's a great segue into the next part of the shir. So, yes.
Could one argue that it's a shayla v'derabanan? So, even if midei sveka lo nafka, it's a sveka derabanan lekula?
Yes, you could argue that. So, the segue is as follows. So, how did we eventually get the lice out of their hair? So, after many, many, you know, days of painful trying on our own, but we gave up and we hired a service that came, professionals that deloused them. The service was not successful, and within a couple of weeks they came back despite charging a lot of money. So, you know, what are you going to do? You have to ask the Jews for help. So we went to Borough Park to delousers. In Borough Park, they know what to do, and they got rid of them for good. So how did they kill them in Borough Park? The trick is, you should know this, it could save you hundreds of dollars, is you smother the hair with globs and globs of conditioner. So you tell me, what does conditioner help? So conditioner helps because it suffocates the lice. They can't breathe. Then they die. Then you just, it also makes your hair very greasy, and then you just comb them out. Geschmack. So you suffocate the lice. So now, this raises a question. Is suffocating an av of shochet or a tolda? So if we turn to the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, let's find the place. Whoops.
According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it would be permitted anyways, because Rosh Shlomo Zalman holds by ants. It's Ein B'Mino Nitzod, and it moves too slowly, and it's tsar, so it would be mutter. So too over here, even yes. If you think that it's part of the Rava, it would still be permitted according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman.
Why? I don't understand.
Because Rosh Shlomo Zalman...
First of all, how are you moving from Tzeda? Rosh Shlomo Zalman says you could trap ants?
Yeah.
Isn't that it? Oh, because they're slow.
I was mixing up trapping and Nitzilas Neshama. But
I assume you're saying that he's make up for ants if it's tsar. Just because it's trei de rabbanan. Yeah. Oh, he thinks it's zero because they're so slow.
Yeah.
That's a big fish.
Mm-hmm. We didn't say it in share because
No.
We talked about it. So I looked up the Rosh Shlomo Zalman and he mentioned the ant. So.
Hey, okay. Big Kiddush. Fine. So back to Hariga. Aaron is still in the last Malacha, which is fine. He's right that we didn't spend
enough time. We did Liban last night.
He's trapped in the previous Malacha.
Unbelievable. Wow. Okay. So the Rambam says, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, HaShochet Chayev, V'hu Shochet, V'lo Shochet Bovad, El Kol Hanotel Neshama La'achad, Mikol Minei Chayev, V'hem Av Of, V'dag, V'sharet, Be'im B'shchita, Be'im B'nechira, O B'haka Chayev. HaChonek Es HaChay, Ach Yamos Areza told us Shochet. So the Rambam says that the Av is when you shecht or you do nechira, you kill it, you hit it. The tolda is strangulation. Chonik is a tolda. So it's an interesting shaila, right? In the case of, even if we hold that it's also to kill lice nowadays. So if you smother the lice by putting globs of conditioner in your hair, so it will not be the av, it will be the tolda. So why is chanika a tolda? In other words, why if I punch somebody and they die, if I shoot somebody and they die, it's an av, and if I strangle them, it's a tolda. What difference does it make? So one answer is found in the Merkavas HaMishnah, and he says Nerali Atam Denocher Umaker Abu Avos Kmo Shochei Dikun Etilas Neshama Mamish. Netilas neshama is taking out the neshama, dama nefesh. Well, and therefore, when you kill someone by taking out their dama nefesh, it's netilas neshama, that's the av. Mashen ke mechonik, she'eno motzi es hadam, and dam is a nefesh, ela netilas neshama ruchanis chashiv tolda. Okay, so what's the av? The av is when you kill them by removal of the blood. What's the tolda? Strangulation. You know, no blood is removed. They just die due to lack of oxygen. Another possibility to explain the difference between av and the tolda, and I saw in one of the Sfarim, contemporary Sfarim Mishnah Shabbos, he says a similar idea, that chonek is like a form of grama. In other words, I'm not killing anybody directly. It's rather I'm depriving them of oxygen, which is necessary for life, and mimela, they die. And I thought that that pshat could explain the hemshach of the Rambam very beautifully. Because what's the lashon of the Rambam? Again, hachonek esachai ad shiyamos, hareze told us shochet. Lefikach, im heladag misafal shalmayim v'hinichau ad shemes chayav misham chonek, v'lo ad shiyamos el, okay, v'an sh'ivesh bo kesela means napirav, chayav, sh'od enu yachol l'chios. The Rambam says that because chonek is a tolda, therefore, if you take a fish out of water and it dies for lack of oxygen, even if it doesn't yet die, it basically gets to a point of irretrievable life, even though it's still flapping around. So you're chayav mishum chonek. So it's very beautiful. Now there's a Rambam sounds like this is the same idea. When you deprive an animal of that which is necessary to live, air for land animals, water for fish, so then that is the tolda, because the tolda is when you don't kill directly, but deprive the animal of what it needs to live. Of course, you're chayav there as well. It's nisha deraisa, but that's the definition of the tolda according to the Rambam.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Wouldn't you need to say the Mekeves HaMishnah's vort by Hotzas Dam in order to make that chiluk? Because you could make the same formulation by taking blood away also, meaning by taking blood away, you're just removing the person's life, which is their blood. But if you say the Mekeves HaMishnah saying, no, the blood is the life. So,
yeah, but this you could say both together. The way I would say it is one is direct and one is indirect. When you kill someone with a wound by shooting them, you directly kill them. When you kill them by oxygen starvation, you've indirectly killed them. What caused them to die is their inability to bleed, not that you've directly caused their death. It's indirect.
If I stab someone, though, what caused them to die is the fact that they now bleed out of the hole I opened.
Right. So that's chayav. That's the. I mean, they're both chayav. That's the av.
And were
that's also indirect.
No, it's direct.
No, I stab them, and then they bleed out, and that kills them.
No, that's direct.
Okay, and if you were to lock someone in, like, you know, the kippah, you know, lock someone in a room without food and everything, and they die because of lack of food, so presumably one would also be chayav on Shabbos because of that?
So that's an interesting shiloh, because, you know, it depends how long that they take, right? That brings us to the question of...
it's like Zoraya.
Zoraya, right.
Like, exactly. Okay, fine. So that's the question of the av versus the tolda. What we're going to spend most of our time on is... Chovel. It's not actually killing, but it's clear from the Gemara that there's an iser d'oraisa of chovel, of wounding a person or an animal. And the question that we need to figure out is which melacha is that? So Tosfos, Ayin Hamad Aleph in Shabbos, as well as a number of places throughout Shas, like in Ksubos in the first parak, quote Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the chiyav is netilas neshama. The nechiyav is because of shochet. Because what shochet? Shochet is netilas neshama. And when you're chovel, when you injure someone and they bleed, so that too is netilas neshama. Ki adam hu anefesh. And therefore, that is a form of chovel.
Rabbi.
In other words, just one second. The geder of the melacha is not killing. According to this approach, the geder of the melacha is netilas neshama. So it's chayiv if you kill someone, but it's even chayiv if you don't kill someone because you've been notel neshmasa. Now, it could be, we'll see in a moment, that other Rishonim do not learn like Tosfos. They try to figure out other possibilities why chovel's chayiv, maybe because of tzoveya, maybe because of dash. So it could be that those who disagree with the Tosfos hold that the geder of the melacha is killing. That's the malacha shochet. Shochet is killing. And therefore, chovel, where you don't kill anything, must be some other malacha. That's more or less what the Lecha Mishnah in Perek Ches Halacha Tes writes. He writes that the reason why the Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, does not learn like Tosfos is because he thinks that the malacha is hariga, as he says in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph. Yes, Gabe.
Hadam hu nefesh is a halachic pasuk in the concept of Yeridaya. And over there we say that the pasuk Hadam hu nefesh only applies to Hadam shenefesh yotzeba. And Dam Evarim we learn out from other pasukim. How is it shayach that we could say Hadam hu nefesh over here for a little bit of blood in my finger when that's not Dam hu nefesh halachically?
That's a good ha'ara. I don't know. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam held that all dam to some degree is dam hanefesh, and it's just that when it leaves under certain circumstances, since it's not in terms of certain halachos like the iser achilas dam, it's not nechlal. I don't know. It's a good question. Good question. I don't know. So that's the first approach. The second approach is Rashi, Shabbos Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. There he actually quotes that pshat as well, but he also quotes from his Rebbeim that the melacha of Chovel is Soveya, because the or is Nitzba B'dam HaNitzharbo. Rashi also quotes this position in Bava Kama Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, meaning to say that, let's say I get a bruise, so my skin is colored black and blue. Now, the obvious question here, there are a lot of technical questions that we'll see in a moment, how does he explain the Gemara Chulin and the like, but how does he explain the Gemara Subos, but just for, begin with a more fundamental question, which is, what need is there for this tzviya? So the truth is that if you look, the Rishonim point out, the Rashba points this out, that the Yerushalmi does sound like Rashi. The Yerushalmi, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, writes, Matzvi Haisa B'mishkan, Shehayu Misharbetim B'behema, B'oros Elim Adamim. That the Tzviya in the Mishkan was where they dyed the Elim, the Oros Elim, how'd they make it red, right? They needed Oros Elim Adamim. So it's not the pshat that they shechted the animal, took off the ore, and dyed it red. That's actually, Rashi al-Torah gives that pshat. But that's not what the Yerushalmi seems to be saying. Yerushalmi is saying that they would beat the animals while they were alive, causing them to bleed, causing their skin to be dyed red. And therefore, when you do that, that is a violation of Tzoveya. That is a violation of Tzoveya. So in that case, it's certainly Nicha with that Tzviya, right? Because they wanted red hides. So it's Nichalai. Just like we saw on Daf Ayin Hamad Beis, that according to Rav, Shochet is also Chayav Mishum Tzoveya, because Nichalai de Litvas Beis Hashchita. In other words, there are going to be times where you want the Beis Hashchita, or the ore, or the like, to be dyed. And therefore, the Mechayev of Chovel is Tzoveya. You won't always want or need that Tzviya, but sometimes you do. And that's why the Mechayev is Tzoveya. That's Rashi Shita. The third perspective is the Rambam, Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin. He writes that Mfarek, which is a tolda of Dash, is the violation of Chovel. Why? Because when you squeeze the blood out of the body, that's sort of similar to squeezing the juice out of a grape. Now, that doesn't mean blood is irrelevant, right? We already saw the Merkav Samishna point out that we use blood, the idea of Dam Hu HaNefesh, according to his view, to explain the difference between Yav and Tolda. But the point is that that's only when you kill. But when you don't kill, so then the milacha of blood removal would be mefarik. Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Mishnah Perek Yudalid Pasuk Aleph asks that according to the Rambam, So why every time you shoot someone or you shecht them or you're nocher them, are you not chayev both mishum shochet and mishum dash? And he leaves off with the tzarchion. Now the tzafnas panech says, yeah, in a chanami. Every netilas neshama al yidei dam would taka b'chayev shtayim. The very least, if you needed the dam, like you were osa lakaso, or you needed the dam for some other reason, we'll see. In the Rambam, a lot of times it won't be the malacha. We'll get to that a little later when we talk about chovel and kalkel and tzarch ladam. But fundamentally, at least, yes, in a chanami, when I kill someone because I'm angry at them, so I'm chayiv both mishum netilas neshama for shochet as well as for mefarik, let's say. Now, one objection to this position in the Rambam is that we know ein di shalah b'gdule karka. But we've already really dealt with that question in a different malacha when we talked about cholev and why is cholev chayev mishum dash, according to many mishonim. Either you're going to say that behemos are gdule karka, and you could say people are also gdule karka, or you could say that the toldos of disha are shayach for shalom gdule karka. That was the approach of the Kadmon in Mitzrayim, or other answers that we saw there. But obviously those who disagree with that principle would disagree here. In other words, let's say Rabbeinu Tam, who held that milking could not be a violation of Mefarik, because Ein Disha Elam Gdule Karka, so too, he would say over here also, that stabbing a cow would not be a violation of Mefarik. Okay, so having seen these three possibilities in the Rishonim, what I want to do now is go through three or four sugyas and shas where the issue of Chavala comes up, and we'll consider which position makes sense and which positions might be refuted. I know that we're running out of time. We'll start with one sugya, and then we'll continue with this Bezrus Hashem on Sunday. So the Mishnah in Shabbos Kozayin Amud Aleph writes that Shmona Shratzim Amurim B'Torah Chovel Ben Chayev. So the Gemara explains that's because Nitzar Hadam Tachas Ha'or Mashenken Shar Shratzim V'Ramasim HaChovel Behen Pater. In other words, we know the Torah enumerates eight shratzim. These are relevant for the laws of Tum and Tahara, but it's also relevant in terms of the Malach of Chovel. When you are Chovel in one of the Shmona shratzim, so then, even though they don't actually bleed, the dam collects under the skin, since they have skin, they have ore. So therefore, if you're Chovel Bahem, you're Chayev. But if you're Chovel in one of the shratzim that is not one of the Shmona shratzim, they don't have ore, and therefore you would be potter. It's a sort of an oversimplification. The Gemara is a little more complicated than that, but that's the basic idea. So, according to Rashi, what's the meaning of this Gemara? The meaning is that since they have no ore, there's no tzoveya. If you have ore, so there's tzoveya. If you have no ore, there's no tzoveya, and therefore you're dafka chayav for the Shmona shratzim and not for other shratzim. According to Tosfos and Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean, that there's no tzoveya if there's no ore?
We'll actually talk about this in one moment. If I just had this source, the way I would say it is that the Shmona shratzim have a circulatory system whereby the blood can leave the veins or the blood vessels and remain under the skin. And therefore, the effect is tzoveya on the skin. Whereas when it comes to shar shratzim, they just have a exoskeleton with a bunch of mush on the inside. And therefore, if the blood doesn't leave, it just goes back to where it was and you haven't done anything. The way Rashi puts it in Chulin is that when it comes to the Shmona Shratzim, Nikra Ha'or Mibifnim, which again, what I'm saying perhaps means, Nikra Ha'or Mibifnim means the blood leaves the blood vessels and it just coagulates under the skin, it collects under the skin, and that's considered Soveya. I will admit that the Mitzios of this Gemara, and I'll highlight this point in a moment when we get to Tosfos, figuring out how to reconcile the Mitzios that the Gemara is discussing and the Mitzios that we observe is somewhat difficult, and I can't say that I fully understand it, but we'll try our best. So that's the pshat in the Gemara according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, so they point out that for Chavala, where you're not motzi dam, so like I said before, the dam collects under the skin, and in that case, there's netilas neshama. Why? Because you were motzi dam. And even though the dam doesn't leave the body, there was still hotzas dam. Nekar hadam begufo, they say. Doesn't leave the guf, it's nekar begufo. So therefore, even though it doesn't come out, you're still chayev. Now, they say here an interesting point. The way Tosis puts it is, afal pishal yatsa, dekevan shenitzrar, sofo latzes, ala sha'ata ha'or ma'akvo. So this dam is going to leave when I bruise you, when I give you a black and blue mark. So what happens? You bleed. It's internal bleeding. You bleed. That blood is going to leave. Why isn't it leaving now? Because your skin is preventing it from leaving. If you didn't have skin there, it would bleed like a normal cut, right? But you do have skin. The skin is intact. So memela, the blood doesn't leave. Aval b'shar shlatzim, kevan delo yatza sofo lachzor. Since it didn't leave the body, it's just going to return to the rest of the blood inside this bug. If it was going to leave the body, it would have happened immediately. But it didn't leave the body. There wasn't a puncture wound. So therefore, it just goes back in, because since they don't have or, it's not shayach this idea of or ma'akvo. In other words, black and blue marks are internal bleeding. So black and blue marks are shayach when you have or. And there is yetzias adam, there is yetzias neshama, and it's adam that's enu chozer. I'm not sure of this Matthias when he means that the dam is going to leave, because, right, when I get a bruise, the blood doesn't leave my body as far as I can tell, right? It's not like, you know, you get the impression, oh, you know, you got a bruise, so like, I don't know, even though it doesn't leave right away, it's going to leave soon. It's not true, right? We don't see the blood leaving. You know, if it wasn't for the way Tosis formulated it, I would have said something along the lines of what I said before, which is that the blood left your circulation, right? Nikra or mibifnim, like Rashi says, the blood left the blood vessels, and it's never going back into that circulatory system. In other words, the pshat is that damu nefesh, it's left your circulatory system, and now, you know, it doesn't leave your body. You know, the body is some way of cleaning up that blood. It's garbage at this point, and it takes care of it. Again, Rashi himself doesn't put it that way, but that's sort of the way you could have said it for Tosos. That's not what Tosos says. Tosos says that it actually doesn't, it leaves the body. Now, I saw in one of the contemporary books, they say that's what Tosos meant, that the blood does not re-enter the bloodstream, but is eliminated from the body through natural processes. Now, unless they mean like eliminated through what? Like through tsoa? It doesn't sound that way from Tosos. But one way or the other, that's the view of Tosfos.
This is one of the approaches when Chazal, they said paravirava, they didn't really mean of it. Just means you can't really see the eggs. So too over here. If I were to ask a four-year, I don't know. But yitachin, that if I were to ask someone else, they would think that it would magically leave.
Yeah, but that's a very strange idea, because you don't need a PhD in biology to figure this out. In other words, when I get a black and blue mark, I don't see the blood leaving my body. So again, that's why they kvetch and tisis means that it does leave. It doesn't leave through your skin, it leaves through other means. The body figures out a way how to eliminate that blood. Okay, maybe. Can say. So that's the idea of Tosfos. Okay, good. So we understand the Gemara according to Tosfos and according to Rashi. What about the Rambam? According to the Rambam, what difference does it make if it has or it doesn't have or? So the Rambam doesn't actually spell this out in the Mishnah Torah, but in the Pirsha Mishnayos, he seems to address this question, and he writes that when there is or, so the chavala remains. Whereas when there's no or, it's chozer lekadmuso. That's his lashon. Lefishehu mischadesh vechozer lekadmuso. And this idea that the Rambam is saying is really based off of the Gemara in Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says over there that to be mischayev, you need eina chozeres. That's what the Gemara says. You need eina chozeres. So what does eina chozeres mean? Is it referring to the blood? Meaning to say, like we were saying before, the blood doesn't return to the circulatory system. Or is it referring to the wound? That even after the healing, it doesn't return to its original state. Now, Rashi actually mentions both of these possibilities. Rashi in Kuf Zayin Amud Beis says, Nesaf v'nikshar v'makom echad, shuv eino chozer v'nivla. In other words, the blood doesn't return to the circulatory system. It's eino chozer v'nivla. And that's the idea. It's nitzer hadam, but doesn't go back in. Rashi also says over there, explaining eino chozer, meaning eino chozer l'kadmuso shelo yiskashe ha'or b'makom ha'makeh. Meaning to say that, again, it's hard for me to understand this exactly because sometimes when you get a wound, you get a cut and everything actually does go back exactly to the way it was before as far as you could tell. But anyhow, the point is that somehow or another it doesn't go back to the way it was. The skin doesn't go back to the way it was. The wound, even after it's healed, is not the same as it was originally. So that's two ways to sort of understand when the Gemara says, Eino Chozer, that's what it might mean. So the Rambam and the Pirsha Mishnayos and the Mishnah Torah, interestingly enough, imply that you're always putter for Shar Shratzim. It's not just that you're putter in the case where the blood doesn't leave the body, but you're always pater for chavala by shar shratzim. We'll see. That seems to be against the Gemara in Chulin. How the Rambam is going to deal with that, we'll get to next time, I guess. But that works very nicely with the second possibility. Now, in other words, what's the idea? The idea is that when it comes to Shmona Shratzim, so then even after the Chavala, everything is restored. L'kadmuso, it goes back to the way it was, even if it does bleed. But after it's healed, it's 100% healed. Chozer L'kadmuso. Whereas by Shmona Shratzim, it's Eino Chozer L'kadmuso, and therefore you are chayv. You're chayv whether it bleeds or whether it doesn't bleed. Now, why is eino chozer l'kadmuso important? So there's really two ways to say it. The simple way to say it, actually, when I read the Pirsha Mishnayos, I thought he meant that it's you need malacha hamiskayemes. And if it just goes back to the way it was, it gets undone, so then it's not miskayem. However, if you look at the Birkas Avram, the tshuva from Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, Simon Yud Ches, I sent it to you in your Korah sheets. So he says, no, it's not a general p'tur, like I had read, that it's Enu Miskayim, but it's a specific p'tur to Mefarek. And he says the reason why you're potter, if it's Enu Miskayim, is because you need Doma La'av. He writes, with the Kakasha, Imi Shem Mefarek, my time of Ba'inam Chabura She'en Chozeres, Yesh L'Hashif, Mipnei Sha'atolda, Tzricha Shetia Domel Av, V'Hawil V'Av, Shu Adosh, Ein Hanidosh Chozer L'Kamo Shehaya, Kach HaMefarek, Sarach Lios, Oso Davar, Shenisparek, Eino Chozer L'Kamo Shehaya. Meaning, say, after the blood is extracted, a wound must remain. And therefore, if it goes back to its original state, it's not done alive. Just like when I squeeze olives, so the olives never return to being whole olives again. The grapes don't like turn back into grapes, right? I'm left with mush, with pulp. So too, when I am choyvel, which is chay mishum mefarik, it's only when that leads to a situation where the original situation isn't restored. So when it comes to the shmona shratzim, if I pierce the ant, so bleeds, it doesn't bleed, the ant, assuming it lives, is going to go and look exactly like it did before. So that's not like squeezing an olive, because the olive doesn't look the same after it's squeezed. And therefore, you're potter. Mashen Kane, when it comes to shmona shratzim, it's not true. After you are choyvel in the achbar, so it never is the way it was before. I can't say I understand the metzius entirely, but that's the way Rabbi Avram explains his father. Now, he notes, though, there's a big problem with this pshat. He says, "Afal pi sheyesh lahak shos ha'ik acholev." He says, one second, there's a kash on me, because cholev is also mishum mefarek, and if anyone's ever milked a cow, so it goes back to the way it was before, right? It's not like permanently ruined, and yet you're chayev. So, you know, if you would have asked me, I would say that's a pircha to this pshat, right? He just says this is like a hara on this pshat, and it's not a pircha. I don't know why, but that's the pshat in the Rambam. So again, to summarize, and I'll take Aaron's question, we have this Gemara in Shabbos that the Mishnah says that if you're choyvel in the Shmona Shratzim, you're chayev, and Shar Shratzim, you're potter. Why is that? According to Tosfos, it's because by Shmona Shratzim, there's Yetzias Adam, Adamu Anefesh, even without bleeding, because of internal bleeding. So you're chayev mishum, Netilas Neshama. Shar Shratzim, that isn't true. There's no Netilas Neshama at all. Either the blood leaves, in which case you would be chayev for Shar Shratzim, or it goes back to where it was, in which case you're potter. According to Rashi, the pshat is that there's tzoveya, because there's or tshayach tzoveya for the Shmona Shratzim. Shar Shratzim, there's no or, so it's not tshayach tzoveya. Also, maybe for a similar reason, because it just goes back and returns to the circulatory system. And finally, for the Rambam, the pshat is that for Shmona Shratzim, it's miskayim, and for Shar Shratzim, it's chozer l'kadmuso. And what that means, either it's because it's potter, because it's animus kayamis, or a specific tour over here, because it's not doma to the av, in that it's not transformed. Yes, Aaron.
So when I was learning Dush, I understood that the Rambam's definition of Dush was similar to Rashi, porik ol min ha levush. So maybe he has a starker definition of levush, that in order to have that the skin is that is a levush, but for a tiny animal that's so insignificant, it doesn't have a varim. It's like a nothing. So perhaps it doesn't have its levush. So therefore, it wouldn't be under the agdar of dush. Is that one way you could understand it?
Ein lahem or means that, and again, I understand, why don't they have a lavush? Cockroach has an exoskeleton. Why isn't that the lavush?
Because it's insignificant. Or gives chashivas to lavush. But if it doesn't have or, so it's just like, it's just a non-chashiva animal that doesn't deserve a status of lavush. And I think this would be a lot more attractive because it has a lot less kashas than other mahalchim.
Okay, well, we'll see if it has a lot less kashas.
Not happy?
Well, we'll see. I have to stop now. Al-Karchi. Otherwise, I'm going to lose all credibility entirely. So we'll have to stop here. When we go into seeing if Aaron's mahalich is going to work to explain the sugya in Chulin, and in Ksubos, and in Shabbos, Daf, Ayin, Hey, we'll look at all the other sugyas of Chayvel, and we'll see if your pshat holds up. So you should all have a wonderful Shabbos, And B'si'ata D'shmaya, we will pick up Sunday at 12 o'clock.
Okay. And everyone should join the Brachos Chabura.
Oh, Shkaya for the pitch.
Okay.
Good job, Rebbe.
Rebbe.